Hello and welcome back to the 160th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. Can you believe it's time to get together here? Once again, time flies when you're having fun and living through the end times. It's great to have you here. It's the 160th installment of the show. I always like to say right off the bat, show, we don't have ads. There's nothing behind a paywall. All we ask is if you get something out of it, throw a few bucks this way. It is appreciated. Your voluntary support is appreciated. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. If you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albion. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. Got Monero, got the email address down there. Drop your notes. If you got another cryptocurrency that's weird, drop me an email for that. More than likely, I can find an address to slide your way. As always, it's great to be together this week. I'm looking forward to a great discussion. If it's your first time tuning in, I hope it doesn't suck so that you'll come back. They'll come back next week or maybe go back and listen to other shows. But we do have a Christian specific message. I like to call it the sermon. Usually it's roughly around the halfway point of the show. Sometimes it's way off from that. But there is one at the end of the show somewhere in there. And even if you're like, man, I ain't about all that religion. I ain't tuning in. In fact, I might turn it off now. I encourage you to stick around. You might get something out of it. Anyway, let's get right into the listener supporter mailbag. This is one of my favorite things to do because it doesn't require a lot of effort on my part. Rest of the time, I have to come up with the Christian specific message. You think that's easy? You think it's 160th show and I got to come up with something that isn't stale. Besides, you know, the whole world is literally going to hell. No, it's welcome to the end time. I mean, you know, it's hard to come up with fresh material. Let's get into it. Dear Grandpa, glad to hear the diagnosis is looking good. You're in our thoughts and prayers. Thanks for all your good works and good counsel. And that's from Nick. And I once again, I'm always humbled. I'm always humbled by your y'all's kind words. Thank you very much. I wanted to say, next up, I wanted to say hi, and I'm glad to hear your cancer is gone. Well, we're hoping. We're hoping with everything's looking that direction. Yes. Got some extra money this month, so thought it would help with the medical bills. Thank you very much. Yeah, all the help I can get. I'm paying this out over 12 months. It's a lot of money. You know, it's a little crimping on the budget. I was thinking that 401k plans are ripe for the picking. A lot of people I know are getting to the age where they can start drawing off of them. Perfect time for Tel Aviv to hack 401ks and blame it on the Russian hackers. Pension funds also, and that's from Tony. I tell you what, I mean, even if they don't, I don't know. I mean, if I was a financial guru, I wouldn't be worried about paying. I wouldn't be worried about I'm having to try to pay off some of these medical bills. But, I don't know, man. That stock market, I think it's an iffy place to be. Yeah, you know, and you bring up a really good point because right now we're at this weirdo stage where, like, they can blame everything on the Russians. You know, I mean, gas prices. There's a great example. Gas prices have been going up now for months. And now they're like, what? Oh, it's Putin's fault. There's nothing we can do about it. It's Putin's fault. It was going up in December, though. There was no invasion in December. It's Putin's fault. Sorry, it's like the blanket. I mean, it's like blaming Putin and the Russians could become like on par with, you know, you know, using the Holocaust as like a blanket excuse for everything, you know, or this whole thing of everybody I don't like is Adolf Hitler. I mean, it's like no matter what it could be, you think about it, like the entire internet, you know, the entire infrastructure of the internet, that bridge, a bridge has collapsed. It's the Russians' fault. our crumbling infrastructure, it's the Russians' fault. Runaway inflation, it's the Russians' fault. It's Putin's fault. You name it. Anything you don't like in society, we can blame it on the Russians. Good stuff here. Next up, God bless GPD. Do you think we will have World War III? Because Russia... Russia hit the Babi Yar Memorial. LMAO. Funny that the so-called neo-Nazi Azov is armed with Israeli Tavor rifles. $2,000 each. Stay well. And that's from Triangle Whip. And about a couple of weeks ago now, I did a Wednesday show about all of this. You know, a little special installment about this quote-unquote Nazi stuff in the Ukraine. If y'all miss that, go back and catch it. It really, if I say so myself, I think it's a pretty good hot take on a lot of it. As is usually the case, things that can seem confusing, if you really bear down on the definitions of words, they make sense. If instead of just throwing about this term Nazi, if you think of it in terms of National Socialism, you know, well, what, you know, if the everything in Ukraine collapses, what of actual National Socialism will be lost? Yes, there they are with their Israeli rifles, you know, supporting their totally National Socialistic Jewish president. But wouldn't that make, wait, if they're real Nazis, if they're real National Socialists, if they're the new version of the Waffen-SS, and they're defending Zelensky, would that make Zelensky the new Hitler? You see, you can just go around and around and around, because it's all bullshit. GPD, excellent. Excellent series of shows you've put out recently. Thank you so much. That's from Mr. T. I do. I appreciate it. I do. I seriously worry about sometimes when I finish a show, it's like, I don't know, hopefully that show wasn't crap. And then just reading the very end here, all the best from Jackie, because this came via snail mail and it got ate up. It got chewed up in a machine. It's like rolled up. But it did show up in a plastic bag with an apology note. Sorry, we suck. Signed the U.S. Signed the U.S. Postal Service. But hey, they did fish it out of a machine somewhere. I guess maybe they got so much mail jammed up in the machine that finally somebody had to go in there and unclog it, and they just started pulling stuff out of there. They did have the decency to put that in there. So big thanks, big props to the U.S. U.S. Postal Service. Wraps up the listener supporter mailbag. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Haven't had any kind of updates on the health front here lately, because I actually, you know, haven't had much to add to it. I can tell you this. So, I mean, like, you watch these zombie, I have a new appreciation for zombie movies. Because, see, I have this dead flesh on me now. I have this piece of dead flesh. It didn't get enough blood circulation. They got so rough with it, and it got stretched so hard. Didn't get enough blood circulation. It died. I have this dead flesh now on my leg. And the other day, I'm sitting around in my shorts, because I had to wear shorts pretty much all the time. You know, because it rubs all the stuff off. It rubs the band, the wrap, you know. And even with the wrap on, I've got it all wrapped up. I've got the medicine on it that I'm supposed to be putting on it. But it was warm. I'm sitting around with the window open. I'm chilling. Rewatching Attack on Titan, and I'm gonna tell you, the stench is like I went out on the road and found a dead roadkill possum and strapped that dead stinking bastard to my leg, and I'm walking around with it. I walk past people and they'd be like looking at me like, what the hell? You watch these zombie movies. And those are bullshit. I'm going to tell you, if you have a real zombie apocalypse, they ain't catching me. You know why? Because, like, you watch these movies, and they're like they go in a building. It's like, it's safe here. We can be safe here. And then all of a sudden, the zombie, you know, like, jump scare. You know, the zombie busts out of the closet and comes after him. Let me tell you, as somebody that is carrying around literal rotten flesh on their body, ain't no zombie sneaking up on you. You'd be like, maybe we can stay here. You can crack that door open and be like, whoa, there's zombies in there. There's zombies in there. It stinks. This stinks like rotten flesh. I mean, this piece of dead stuff on there is like the size of, or maybe a little bigger than my thumb. That's it. You got a zombie walking around and his whole body is that. You're going to smell him like 5 miles away. Like, you're like, there's a zombie 5 miles to the west. Let's go this other direction. Woo! It don't take much. Don't take much rotting flesh to make a stink. Now we've had a big, weird, I'm recording this on Saturday. We had like a big cold snap, an overnight cold snap. So it's nice and chilly. So the stench is down, but it's still there. It's the stench. It's rough having the stench. Talking about things on the cancer front, I do gotta go to another oncologist now. I've been referred to a different oncologist for a follow-up thing, because as I said before, everything looks good so far, but the tumor is so bad they just can't accept that, and so they're going to send me this other oncologist. They're probably going to wind up running some more tests and scans just to make sure they don't have any tumors growing somewhere else. The last time I was at the surgical oncologist's office, I thought, well, I will go make an appointment up here with this other one. And I felt guilty. I felt guilty because, like, my surgical oncologist, where I go there, it's like, there it is, little office. Go in there. Everybody else hobbling around. I'm the only one stinking like a corpse. But I go up to the other floor because it's in the same building. I go up to this other floor, and I'm expecting the same thing. I'm expecting to step out of the elevator, find this guy's little office, and go in there. No. This is where all the... This is where, like, all the, like, people, cancer. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I had cancer too, but I mean, like, I feel bad because I'm going in here, you know, and I've been pretty down, you know. I mean, I try to be positive. I try my best to be positive, but, you know, I've been like, man, dealing with this whole, you know, am I dying? I mean, you know, where did they get all of it? You know, my leg hurts. I've been in, like, constant pain for well over a month now. You know, I'm feeling a little bad for myself. I step out of the elevator, go in here in this big open room here. And there's all these people, like, I don't know, 90 pounds, you know, wearing the beanies on their bald heads because they're doing chemotherapy. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not making fun. I'm not, please. I'm no way, shape, or form stand on your head trying to make fun of these people. I'm really not. I'm actually making fun of myself because, like, I'm feeling bad for myself. Like, man, my leg hurts. I'm in constant pain. You know, now I smell like a zombie. And I walk in here and I see these people and I feel like, man, I'm guilty. You know, why am I even in here? They're all looking at me like, you know, because they're all looking at me like, what the hell's he doing here? What's wrong with you? Y'all hopping, you know, because I'm gimpy. You know, I'm lame. I can't hardly move this leg. I got, this knee was not very good to begin with. Now it's full of fluid. And then I'm hobbling along. Where are my slippers? Just can't hardly bend down and lace shoes. Feeling sad for myself. I go in here and see these people. And I'm like, damn. I feel bad. What am I even doing here? I shouldn't be taking up anybody's time. These people need this a lot worse than me. Anyway, I got this appointment. I wound up, that turned it, I won't get into it, as a whole cluster. I gave up, didn't get an appointment, wound up doing it over the phone. So I will be going with this follow-up to Southern College. They sent me this paperwork. Got to do this paperwork, new patient paperwork. You would think it's in the same building as the other guy. They could just share the paperwork, but no, I got to do the paperwork again. Well, they have different questionnaires, you know, different questions. And again, I feel bad. I mean, yeah, and I... They might do scans and find tumors on me, and then things could take a turn for the worse. I mean, it looks like I'm out of the woods, and with God's grace and mercy, I am out of the woods. But, you know, I mean, technically things could take, I get why they're wanting to do this. I really was so tempted to just say, nah, man, I'm just saying everything's good and going on, but I'm going to go ahead and go and do this follow-up. But I have to do this questionnaire, and I'm doing the questionnaire and the questions. You know, the questions really get to me. Like, again, this is reflective of feeling bad about myself because I'm having to fill this out. What am I doing here? I don't belong. How much weight have you lost in the last, you know, 60 days? I can understand why that question is on that questionnaire because I walked into that room with all of these poor people. I'm sympathetic. I'm not being like a smartass here. I mean, I really felt bad for these people. I really felt sympathy for these people. How much weight have you lost in the last 3 months? I've gained 11 pounds because I've been some form of crippled up and can't move around and I'm bored and I wind up snacking. How much weight have you lost? I've gained 11 pounds. Do I put that on there? Are they going to read the questionnaire and be like, why is this asshole here? Get out. Okay, I scamper out. Put my head down. Scamper out. They got all kinds of questions on there. All kinds of questions you're supposed to fill out. And one of the things that really, you know, they had two different deals on there on a scale of, like, you know, it's like 0 to 10 or 0 to 5 or something. You know, how depressed are you? How anxious? The next one was, how anxious are you? On a scale, not depressed at all, like as depressed as a person could be and still breathe. How anxious are you? Not anxious at all. Absolutely so anxious that you're afraid to leave the house, I guess. I don't know. Which extreme are you? It got me thinking. It got me thinking. On a serious note, really, it got me thinking because, like, we have this weird thing. It's just like, because how do you answer that? You know? I mean, I'm always upbeat for the show, but let me tell you, going through, like, the cancer thing and everything, you know, there's some days it's like crippling depression. I gotta lie. It is. It's like, I can't do anything. I don't know if I'm dying. Am I going to be here in 6 months? I mean, I don't know. In a way, that didn't bother me that much. But at the same time, there is some things I hope to see and do. And, you know, but I'm pretty good now. Things are looking better. I'm feeling a little better. But I got to thinking about, where do you put yourself on the scale? And I got to think of it because of this society, because like you do these and it's like you feel like you're back in school. You're supposed to give them the answer they want to hear. What's the correct answer? And if you're going for the correct answer, you know, we live in a society where like they try to give you this idea. They try to give people this idea that you're supposed to be happy all the time. You know, that's why you got people like blow up their lives because they've been convinced that they're supposed to be happy all the time. You know, why did you do that? Why did you just go off on this? Because I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I want to be happy. Well, yeah, we all want to be happy. But can't be happy all the time. I got to thinking, if you put on there, I am the most extreme. I'm the most extremely depressed. I thought about trolling. I was tempted for a moment. My inner troll, you know, coming back. Gold tier troll days, just I've circled maximum depression, maximum anxiety. They'd probably come haul me off if I did that. Maximum depression. What does it mean? They expect it. You get the feeling. They expect you to say, no, I'm zero depressed. I'm zero anxious. Got to thinking about, though. They say, oh, well, you're the most mentally healthy. This is a mental health. Mental health is this whole vague, foggy thing, you know? So they say, how is your mental health? Well, define that. You know, if they say, how is your, I don't know, respiratory health? Be like, well, you know, I breathe pretty good for my age. I mean, I breathe pretty good. They say, how's your heart health? Well, so far as I know, it's pretty good. How's your leg health? It stinks. You got to be specific. Well, how's your mental health? How do you answer that? I'm all skeptical about all this mental health business because it doesn't have any real definition. You know, how's your mental health? I put zero on. If you put zero on depressed and zero on anxious, that means you're very mentally healthy. You're very happy. That's why people get on all these mind-altering, these drugs, you know. You know, you're supposed to tell somebody, if you're feeling depressed, tell somebody. And they can give you pharmaceutical concoction A. And you'll be happy all the time. People go get all these meds. Why? Because I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I got to take my meds. I'm not happy. You're supposed to suffer. I'm not happy. How? Oh, we're supposed to be happy. Happy all the time. I got to thinking, if you look around this world today, we've had 2 years of this pandemic bullshit, this lie. And now we've switched this off. And now we're doing this World War III thing, I guess, with Russia. We're doing this insanity with the Ukraine. 24/7, just absurdity. Of course, we're not going to turn off any of the other social stuff. We do BLM riots this summer. Who the hell knows? Now you ask me, who is going to be more mentally healthy? Somebody that's somewhere on that scale in the middle of anxious and depressed? Or somebody somewhere, I'm happy, you know? They're going to say, oh, you circle zero? You're super happy. You're super not depressed. You're as undepressed as you can be and unanxious as you can be. Then there's something wrong with you. If you're on drugs or there's something wrong with you. If you have zero depression, zero anxiety in this clown world, there's something wrong with you. You cannot be right in the head. Look at it, all this. Look at all this is going on. You're supposed to be positive. You know, it's like a false positive. You're supposed to tell everybody you're positive. You stay positive. When I first started going through this cancer, it drove me crazy. Because everybody kept telling me the same thing. Well, the important thing here, yes, you've got this serious cancer. But the important thing is to stay positive. And I never could understand that. Stay positive. You're supposed to lie to yourself. Well, I'm so positive. Why? Because I've got a stage 4 melanoma cancer. Hell yeah. Woo, I'm positive. What is that? False. It's a lie. I won't embrace your lies. Even if the lie is supposed to make you feel better, I refuse. I'm not going to embrace your lies. Sorry. Anyway, good stuff. Where are you on the scale of depression? I'm doing pretty good. I've moved above crippling. Let's see here. As y'all can see, I've been about roughly 20 minutes into the show and really have tried to stay away from talking about the Ukrainian, Russia-Ukraine nonsense because I'm tired of it. It's like I got tired of talking about the pandemic with it. Instant society. It's a society of, you know, instant gratification. It just drives me crazy. You got people that are like, you know, well, it's over. Russia has won. And you got these other retards. They're like, it's over. Russia has lost. How the hell is Russia lost? We're 2 weeks into this thing, and whew, where's the victory? 2 weeks. Remember when wars used to last, I don't know, 4, 5 more years? The U.S., get this, you got people in the U.S. with a straight face saying that Russia has lost in Ukraine because they've been there 2 weeks and they ain't declared victory yet. The U.S. was in Afghanistan for 20 years and then finally retreated and lost. You know, I mean, just admitted defeat and left after 20 years, 2 weeks in Ukraine. Well, Putin's done. Russia's toast. They've totally, they just bungled that operation, didn't they? I don't know. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. I kind of actually do. I was thinking about this and you know, our minds. So I've had a lot of time to think about these things. Hopefully it's making the shows better. Hopefully you're like, I hope you stay stinking like a zombie and crippled up in your house, Dan, because you got nothing else to do aside from watching anime. You ain't got nothing else to do but sit around and think about these things, and it makes the show fresher or not. I don't know. But I was thinking about this. Our minds are not designed for mass media. They're not designed for mass media. They're really not. I mean, you think about it. Just, this is all modern inventions. And I'm not even talking about the internet. I'm talking about TV. TV is a modern invention. You go back 80 years ago, that's somebody, there are plenty of people alive 80 years old. There was nobody had no damn TV. Our brains are not designed for mass media. Our brains are designed, our mind, our mental state is designed to like exchange information in groups, you know, to be like going somewhere and stop. You know, back in the old days, when like people traveled by wagon and they would travel by wagon and they'd be going along and, you know, like they just going somewhere. They'd be going somewhere to visit a relative and it's like a week in a wagon to get there. That's dedication because they're bored. They ain't got nothing else to do. The crops are in. They didn't have all this freedom that we have now where you work every day and don't get vacation. But they would travel in a wagon. And it's like when evening fell, they'd either camp out by the wagon. But if they saw lights from a house, they would just take the wagon over there, knock on the door and be like, well, we're traveling. Can we stay with y'all? You imagine that happening today. Somebody knock on your door and be like, hey, I want to stay there. Unless you're that guy that let the mass murder that ran all over the people at the Christmas parade, unless you're that guy who just lets random people in his house, you're going to be like crazy. You're going to be like, man, I got my pistol here. You better get up off my porch. But no, the people then would be like, hey, other people, get on in here. Yeah, hell, we'll put down some mats and your kids can stay here. Your kids can play with our kids. And then they would sit down. Well, what have you heard? And they would exchange information because you're out here in these farms. You ain't got no contact. You ain't got no TV. And you say, well, I heard this. The last place I was at, they said that this is going all around. Well, I heard this. And everybody said, that is what our brains are designed for. Our minds are not designed for this constant flood of information. It's shorting people out because we're not made for that. Not made. It's like being in a traffic accident. You know, when people die, one of the things that that makes traffic accidents fatal, obviously, if you see a car that gets like literally run over by a big truck, the person is in pieces. And if you left those pieces out for a month, I know what they smell like personally, but that's obvious. But one of the reasons that people die is not what you think. It's not blunt force. It's the stop. It's the twisting. You see? Because our brains aren't designed for that. Our structure. Our brains, our skulls, are designed to protect us against blunt force trauma. The maximum protection feasible, you know, practical for blunt force trauma. For the non-believers, you know, that came about by accident, just by pure coincidence, we're designed that way. But our brain, our structure with the fluid around our brains, because our brain is basically, it's not up against your skull, it's in there, there's fluid between the digits. It's all designed, so if you get hit over the head with a club, you get hit over the head with a club with a blunt object, you get the best chance of surviving, because you got the skull, that's your shield. But then you got that layer of fluid, you see, and it acts as a shock absorber, so your brain stays protected. It's a very good design. What it's not designed for is you're in a high-speed accident and your car makes four flips in the four spins while it careens off the road. It makes these four spins in the matter of less than 2 seconds. And your brain basically gets wrung out like a wash rag. And then you get brain swelling, you get people die. Why? Because you're not designed for that. Your brains are not designed to be hurling down the highway. Our body structures are not designed for hurling down the highway at 70 miles an hour. They're not. And when you get these high-speed accidents, your brain gets twisted up like wringing out a wash rag. Brain swelling, people die. We're not designed for this flood of constant information. Most of it bullshit. Constant flood. We're not designed. We're not mentally designed for this mass media, for this constant flood of information, false, true, whatever. I've said it before, you know, we have access to more information than ever before, and people are further away from the truth than they've ever been. People back then that were traveling by wagon and stopping in a stranger's farmhouse and sitting around discussing what they heard were closer to knowing the truth than what people are today with the internet and TV and 24-hour cable news. Because when you're just exchanging tidbits of information you heard and with other people and they're all thinking about it together, and somebody, well, I don't know, that sounds like bullshit to me. Yeah, I was kind of questioning that too. You know, you've got that kind of feedback. You ain't got time for that. You ain't got time to consider it now because we're on to the next thing. The way they shut the pandemic off and turned this on was like overnight. It's breathtaking. Flooded with confidence, constant information. You ain't got time to sit around and think about, is that true? Is it a lie? Because they're already flooding you with the next thing. You see, we got all this access to information, but they just flood it with white noise. On to the next lie, on to the next line, on to the next crisis, on to the next thing you're supposed to be emotionally upset about, on to the next thing you're supposed to care about, on to the next thing that's going to be the end of the world, on, you don't got time. Don't got time to think about whether it's true or not or what any of it means. Maybe that's why so many of these people now are incapable of critical thought. Maybe that's why it seems like people are dumber. Because they've just been so flooded with this that now their brain's shut off and all they do is just like Pavlov's dogs, you know, where they did the experiment, you know, and the dog's mouth would water because they hear the bell or whatever, you know. They've shut off critical thinking. It's just whatever the TV tells them today. Whatever the TV tells them today, it's like ringing the bell and they just follow their emotions because it's too exhausting. Gonna have to circle the most anxious part on the exam. You're gonna be too anxious if you're trying to think about it, so you just led around by emotion, and that's all that matters. Because you see these people, you know, when the whole they were doing the Ghost of Kiev thing, you know, and it was like video game footage. I saw where somebody posted up some rando's tweet and said, "Why y'all gonna? What does it matter that it's made up? It makes the people feel good. It's good for morale. What does it matter? What does the truth matter? It's just all about how people feel." We're going to defeat the Russians with feels. It's all about the feels. If we just keep making up stuff, it'll become true. Society in a nutshell. What does it matter what the truth is? What does it matter? It makes people feel good. Imagine going through your life with that attitude. What does it matter if it makes you feel good? And sadly, that's how I think most of our society is going through their lives. Who cares what the truth is? It's about what I feel. Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? If it feels bad, well, then I got to not do that. I got to go over here where it feels good. Truth, lies, truth, falsehood, none of that even matters. It's all just about how do I feel. How do I feel? Do I get a positive emotional response? Do I get a negative emotional response? That's where I go. You think about it, makes sense, doesn't it? If that's the way people are now programmed, it makes sense. That's why we have all of this different forms of sexual degeneracy stuff. Because what feels good? What feels good? I started talking to somebody the other day and I said, you know, it has occurred to me that like our natural born instincts for reproduction, you know, our natural born instincts so that we will propagate the species have been completely short circuited and hijacked. I'm going to get into that. I don't have time to get into that this week, but it's been hijacked, you know, and now it's just a matter of it's just another form of doing what feels good. You know, go take a hike. It feels good. It feels good to get out here and take a hike. Go do some sort of sex thing. It feels good. That's why you do it. It feels good. Got all this sexual degeneracy because it feels good. It's just a recreational activity. It's supposed to be just a natural urge so that we will follow through with the natural order and reproduce. So it's been hijacked into this other thing. If the only purpose is what feels good, then that just stands to reason that anything goes if it feels good. Hijack, because again, we're not designed for mass media. We're not designed for all of this information. you look at we're not designed. I shouldn't got off into this in the time frame here, but you look at, like, for instance, pornography, your brain, you have to understand, your brain is not designed for pornography. No, I really mean, they've done studies where, you know, and it's like, it looks like it rewrites your brain and actually further screws up what should be your natural urges, you know, to reproduce. It screws it up. Why is this surprising? Your brain is not designed for that. Your brain is not designed for taking in pornographic images, and yet it's all over. One of the things I find amazing, they have porn stars, they get paid. A lot of money goes into the porn industry, you know? Who the hell pays for porn? I mean, it's an amazing thing. They spend millions and millions, I guess billions. I'm sure it's $1 billion industry. I don't know. A massive amount of money gets paid into the porn industry. And you can click on your computer right now and access pretty much any kind of porn you want to. For free. Why do they spend all of this money producing porn and they're going to give it to you for free? How many people stop and really wonder that? As they click on Pornhub for the day, for the daily dose of what feels good. Do they ever stop and wonder, why are they doing this? They spent millions of dollars paying these people and paying cameramen and all of this stuff, and they're giving it to me for free. Well, how generous of them. Thank you so much. They don't stop. Why? Why? What's the agenda here? I tell you, your brain is not designed for that. I hate to say this, but as far as the natural order goes, if you go to the middle to like a Middle Eastern country, you know, and like where they don't necessarily have all those things, and the women go around very covered up, they don't have to be like to the extreme of a burqa, but they're not walking around in no damn yoga pants either, and they're all covered up and their heads are covered up, and usually they're escorted by a man. Let me tell you what, that's a whole lot closer to the way we're designed to live than this crap that you're living in right now. And that's the honest to goodness truth. Just look back a few short years ago. That's the way you're designed. You're not designed for this constant flood of media, flood of information, flood of mass media, flood of pornography. And we wonder why people are losing their minds. Because you're not designed for that. You're using your mind as being subjected to things that it was never, that it's not designed to be subjected to. This is not normal. That's why people are going off the rails. You take something and it's designed to do this in this conditions. You know, it is designed to do, you take like a snowmobile, you know, if you're up in some place like Alaska or something, and you want to get around, you're going to have to ride a snowmobile. I always thought that'd be cool, by the way. You ride a snowmobile, it's the only way you get around, because otherwise you're going to walk around and you sink. You can't get around in a regular vehicle. The only way to get around is in a snowmobile. But if somebody drops your ass off in the middle of the desert, the Mojave Desert, in summertime, and the only way you got to get back to civilization is on a snowmobile, you're in deep doo-doo. Why? Because it's not designed for that. It's designed to get you from point A to point B in the snow. It ain't designed to be in the desert. It ain't designed for that. You see, that's how this society is to people's mental state, to people's mental well-being, to their emotional state. And what do they tell people? On top of all of that, you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to not be anxious. You're supposed to be just happy all the time. The highest form of insanity at this point would be to be happy all the time in this insane clown world. Anyway, we got to get off into the Christian specific segment. The time flies when we're having fun. So, you know, again, if you're new, I invite you to stick around. I think you'll get something out of it. I've had quite a few people over the years say, hey, you know, I'm not really into all that, but I still listen because it's entertaining. Yeah, you might get something entertaining out of it. It won't be boring, I don't think. That's hopefully not. But either way, that's where we're headed. You know what to do? Let's get in there. Let's fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. I thought this week we'd have take a little time and read prophecy and talk about, I think one of the better ways to get something out of prophecy. We're going to do Revelation this week. Nothing could be more fun than talking about the book of Revelation here in the end times. But the idea is to kind of understand, I think, or maybe not understand, at least discuss the way I read prophecy in the Bible, because it's so difficult to read Revelation because pretty much everybody reads it and tries to apply it to today, to the world around them. And, you know, you've got all of this weird imagery and, you know, this beast, people say this beast, you know, symbolized. I remember seeing stuff or reading stuff years ago, like in the 70s or the 80s, you know, and it's like, this beast is the Soviet Union and this represents the U.S. And here we are. The Soviet Union no longer exists. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to try to just focus on applying things literally. When you read Revelation, when I read Revelation, you do what you want to. I'm just trying to share the way I do this, and hopefully, you know, maybe this will work for you. But when I read Revelation, I just look for reflections. I just look for patterns. And this, too, is how you go through, or how I go through reading Old Testament prophecy. You know, I'm in my personal Bible reading. I'm going through the book of Ezekiel right now. And, you know, because some people be like, well, what do I get out of reading Old Testament prophecy, you know, about, you know, the downfall and the judgment of ancient Israel? And again, not to be confused with modern day Israel, or as I personally have liked to dub it, the abomination that causes desolation sitting where it ought not to be. But that's how I personally dub it. You know, what do I get out of reading against God's, or reading about God's judgment against ancient Israel? Well, because you can see the patterns. You can see the patterns of behavior. I always think of it, and I've said it before, as a recipe. You read about God's judgment against ancient Israel and the Israelites. And if you think of that as a recipe, it's like, okay, the people did this list of things. And when they did this list of things, this was the destruction that was brought about. Like a recipe. You know, recipe works. You can go in the kitchen. If you can read and you got the tools there, you can make whatever's on that recipe. You just follow the instructions. If you put 2 cups of flour, 1/2 stick of butter, and the other ingredients in, you're going to get cookies. Of course, we look around at the world today, and guess what? The U.S. and the Western world has made the recipe. We got the cookies of judgment, and we look around and wonder, why is society collapsing? Why is society utterly corrupt? Why are we living in a society that's destroying itself? Why is everything coming apart? Well, no, because we followed the recipe. We got the same results. Why are we shocked? You know, I mean, it's one of those amazing things. And that's the way I get things out. I get something out of reading Old Testament prophecy, because you look for the patterns, you look for the rhyming, and you do the same thing when you look at the book of Revelation. I personally do not get hung up on attempting to apply, oh, this symbolizes this. Yes, yes, and that makes sense because see, that means what is happening now. Just look for the pattern. And you will see things that do rhyme and are reflected in the world around us. It's not necessary to say that is literally what John saw when he was writing this. He literally had a vision and saw our world today. It's not necessary to do that. You just say, well, what he wrote here, you know, that's very reflective of what we see around us. I think that'll be highlighted in what we go through. We're going to do Revelation 13, I think, verses, let's do verse 11 through 17. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I know you're thinking where I was going with that is that very last part. And that's true. I mean, that's an easy thing, since that's an easy place to start from, is to look at that. And you look at the vaccine pass, because they're going to bring that around. They're not giving up on that. We're just now we've switched off COVID, and we've switched on this whole Russia-Ukraine conflict to keep the masses in their trance, in their hypnotic state. But they're not giving up on that. We'll get circled back around at some point, some form of government pass, some form of vaccine pass, or whatever. I mean, the technology is there. You know, the image on your right hand. I remember way back in the day, people used to imagine it was a tattoo, you know, when we really didn't have, like, microchips, and people pictured you had to have, like, a tattoo, or people, you know, a barcode tattooed on you. But, of course, now we have microchip technology. And again, I'm not trying to apply what's written here literally, but I'm talking about the reflection of it and how, as we spiral downward in these end days, the reflection becomes more clear, doesn't it? I mean, the principle, whether you were talking about a tattoo or a barcode tattooed on you or a microchip, I mean, the concept is the same. It's just becoming more clear now. I mean, technology exists. I mean, you have these apps on your phone where you can just walk by and bleep. You know, just wave your phone in front of the thing and bloop, it's paid for. They can put a chip in you and you can just wave your hand. It'd be great. Save your information. Keep that safe for you so that other people can't get it. Now, in this instance, the reflection, you know, the way it rhymes is so clear that you can just almost apply it literally. You can almost put a literal meaning, which, I mean, my personal opinion, I think it means that part is coming closer to being fulfilled. You know, it's becoming clearer as we get there. But again, if you free your mind up when you read these things, just simply look for patterns. Don't try to say, well, this means this. You just look for a pattern and the way it's reflected on society. And what really kind of got me, believe it or not, this wasn't the part that got me the idea to kind of, maybe we'd talk about it this week, is the part about an image of the beast. Because the old school way to read that is you picture that you make an idol and somehow the idol starts talking and everybody is in awe and bowing down before the idol. Now, if we think of the beast, we think of Satan. What do we know about him? He's the father of lies. That's what Jesus told us. He's the father of lies. There is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. All he spouts is lies. all he speaks is lies. It's this is really highlighted. I mean, people get confused, you know, they don't know. But you look at like the current with this current crazy conflict that's going on in Europe with the Russia-Ukraine thing. And you look at the statements that come out of the U.S. government, you know, and it's all lies. I mean, it's just virtually all of it is lies. And you see this hand waving and accusations and accusing people of this and that. And it's just one lie after another. And not even very good convincing lies. I mean, just a few minutes of research or looking at other sources and you can pretty much figure out that, well, that's a lie. If it's a lie, it's coming, it's of Satan. You know, it is of Satan. If it's truth, it is of God. Regardless of the source, it doesn't change. Truth is reflective of the Lord. Lies are the language of the devil. That's what he speaks. Now stay with me, because again, we're looking at reflections. We're just looking for things that kind of rhyme and just kind of sort of line. We're not trying to make a puzzle piece fit. We're just trying to kind of stand back and say, you know, that kind of is like this, you know, that we can get something out of this, that we can get something out of it. An image of the beast. The beast, we got to receive the lies. How do we get the lies, the messaging? How does the image come to life? We got images coming to life and speaking to us every day. You just got to turn on your TV, don't you? Just turn on the network news. You want a image of the beast speaking his language? Because what's the beast going to be saying? The beast going to be speaking his own language. And what's the language of the devil? Lies. So you turn on. How do you want the image to speak to you? Well, you turn on. That way you can see the images move. And people believe it. You know, people believe everything, it seems like, that's on TV. If it's on TV, they'll buy it. It's so funny because the direct correlation, have you noticed the direct correlation between the pandemic believers and now the I Stand With Ukraine? It was like the meme I saw a meme the other day where the NPC and like the media hand opens its head and pulls out the coronavirus chip and puts in the Ukraine chip and closes its head. And now it's programmed a different way. And it's like that. There is this direct correlation between those who are just like hardcore, like fanatics about the pandemic. Wear your mask, bigot, you know. Get triple vaxxed and double boosted and do what you're told. We're all gonna die. How are you still alive? Those exact same people now have turned all of that off, forgotten about it, and now they're the ones going crazy about, you know, how evil Putin is in Russia, and they don't understand the situation, but by golly, they know that one side's the bad guy, one side's the good guy. Because that's what the image told them. And they have bowed down and they are worshiping the image of the beast. They are receiving the message of lies. They're bowing down and worshiping those lies. Why are they coming? It's not an idol. It's not a statue. It's TV. They're bowing down to the TV. I'm not saying that's what this is literally saying, but you can see the reflection because it doesn't matter. Look, if your preacher comes up to you and just starts lying to your face, I don't care how good of a person he is, in that moment, he is speaking the language of the devil to you. Okay? If you go to a prison and go visit a death row inmate, I don't care how much of a monster that person is, if he sits there and speaks truth to you, he's speaking the language of the Lord. It's not saying he's going to heaven or anything like that. He's still a monster and a horrible person, but in that moment, he is speaking the truth. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but what matters is the truth is the truth. It's not necessarily to say, well, when John was writing this, he saw TV and he couldn't describe it. I mean, it could be. It rings so close that it could be. It makes sense to me. But we don't need to go there. It's not necessarily to get out on that limb, rickety around on the end, hoping to don't break off and you're wrong. It's not necessary. Just say it rhymes. It's reflective of the world today. These people turn on the TV, and whatever they spout to you, is spouted to them, they believe it. If it's Anthony Fauci talking about how, you know, there's just going to be nothing but a wasteland of corpses due to the deadly virus, or whether it's Jim Psaki telling you that evil Russia is going to take the stuff from the bio labs that totally weren't run by the U.S. or funded by the U.S. and they're going to do like a double reverse Uno card false flag to make to make everybody look bad. It's lies. It's the language of the devil being spoken through the imagery and people just bowing down and worshiping it. Just bowing down and chasing after it. Yeah, I saw it on the TV. It's been debunked. Oh, my goodness. You don't believe the lie. Well, too bad. Your lack of belief in the lie has been debunked. It's been debunked with a new lie. See? Appeal to authority. I can appeal to this authority. Let me bow down. Let me do some more worshiping. Reflection. Reflection. It opens up. Has the horns of a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. I'm here for your own good. We want what's best for you. We're worried about people's health. But they speak from a position of authority. Voice of a dragon, a position of authority. I'm not saying this is what it means. I keep saying that because I don't want you. Well, you went back and said that, and this is what it means. Look for the reflections. Look for the reflections and just say, wow, that's kind of reflective of this. The horns of a lamb come to you. Well, we're just doing this for your own good. Doing this for your own good. We're here. We're worried about people's safety. We really care about human rights. We're worried about the human rights. We're worried about civilian casualties while we do everything we can to make sure there's a maximum amount of civilian casualties. And speaking from a position of authority, the voice of a dragon. And when they hear that voice, what they did, it's got to be true. Got to be true. They worship the authority. If it comes from a source that they perceive as from authority, they worship it. No, it doesn't mean they're getting down on the floor and bowing down, but they submit to it. That's what worshiping is. They submit to it. If you're a Christian believer, you're worshiping God every day. Why? Because you submit your heart to the Lord. You believe in His truth. You follow Him. You are worshiping Him every day. Yes, you take time that you bow down or you bow your head at least and you pray and you try to really open and submit your heart to God and you spend your time in worship. But that's all well and good. But really, if you're living your life as a believer, you are submitting your heart. You're saying, I'm not going to go chasing after the things of this world. I'm living my life in the direction with the purpose of serving the Lord. That is your daily, you are worshiping the Lord because you're submitting your heart to God. He is the truth. And you are drawn to the truth. You hate the lies. There's something about this. I have this visceral hate. I do. I have this visceral hate for the lies. It's on a level that I can't even explain why. Well, I can't explain why, but I mean, I can't even explain. I just hate them. I'm just disgusted by the lies. I find them quite sickening. Well, why? Because as believers in the Lord, we follow the truth. And the closer we attempt to follow the truth, the more we are going to hate the lies. It's where you submit your heart, how you submit your heart. You're worshiping God because you submit your heart to God. Regardless of whatever else you got going on in your life, at the end of the day, you get to the bottom line. You submit your heart to God. You're trying to follow the truth. You love the truth. You hate the lies. Now, these people, they're not bowing down in front of the TV and going, all hail Victoria Nuland, the word of truth. You know, they're not bowing down, Saint Victoria Nuland. She's the saint we've all been looking for. No, they're not doing that. But they worship, they submit their heart to the lie. They gobble it up. And then they spew it back out. They'll come. That's something so hard to deal with, whether it's this stuff or the pandemic. Like you're out in public or something. And, you minding your own business. You know, I don't know about y'all. I mind my own business. I'm out in public and I'm interacting with people, whether it's at the store or, you know, you go in a business, you're trying to get something done. I don't sit there and start ranting about these things. I keep it to myself. I'm just trying to get my stuff done so I can leave. So I got to be around these. So I don't have to be around these other people. And inevitably, you'll get one of these NPCs come in there and they start vomiting this stuff all over you because they just can't wait. They just can't wait to virtue signal. They just can't wait to let you know how smart they are. I mean, what do you think of this Ukraine thing? What do you think? What do you think? Putin's really evil, isn't he? You must see if you're in the, are you bowing down? Are you worshiping the beast? Well, are you? They want to see if you're bowing down to the authority as well. They want to see whether you're one of those people. And I do think we are going to get to a point where it's when you say that you're not, and you signal that you are not one of the people, that they're going to turn you into somebody. Report you to the authorities. You're not bowing down. You're not worshiping. They want more members of their congregation to bow down and worship, follow the lies. They've submitted their hearts to it. They've gobbled it up. That's why you look at these things and they contradict themselves. Look, go back to the pandemic. Don't bother wearing a mask. It doesn't work. Oh, well, you got to wear a mask, but it's got to be the special mask. Wait, there's not enough of the special mask. Put this jock strap on your face. It'll be good enough. Put an old t-shirt on your head. That'll work. Keep you from spreading the deadly pandemic with all the, you know, while you're stepping over all of the bodies in the street. And you look at this and it's amazing because you're like, well, does anybody like question this? Because like they're all over the place. All over the place with this stuff. You look at the current thing. It's like Russia uncovers like paperwork. And it's obvious the U.S. is running these bio labs. You know, they put a middleman in so they can have some form of plausible deniability. But I mean, come on. You know, applying a little bit of common sense. Obviously, they were running these bio labs. And it's like, first, they're like, no, we're not. We don't have anything. We don't know nothing. We don't know nothing about that. They ain't even our labs, man. Y'all on here talking about we got labs, man. They ain't even our labs. Then it's like, well, yeah, but they're not technically ours. They belong to the Ukrainians. We're just helping them out. We're just consulting with them and making sure they don't screw it up. And no bioweapons or anything like that. We've got these deadly pathogens here. Because we want to study them, and in case there's ever an outbreak, we're going to be ready with a new vaccine and a way to treat it. Trust us. The lies, they just fly in your face. And it doesn't matter, and that's the thing, it doesn't matter how obvious they are, because these people bow down. These people bow down and worship them, because they're submitting their heart to it. When you run into people, you have to understand, when you run into these people who are so, it doesn't matter how, you know, it's fine that people don't understand, and, you know, as long as they're trying to understand. But when you run into these people who are just, it doesn't matter how many contradictions, doesn't matter, they're going to believe it. It doesn't matter how big of a lie it is. It doesn't matter how absurd the lie is. They completely just bow down, accept it, and will vomit it back all over you while proclaiming it is the truth. Understand, they are worshiping the devil. Now, it doesn't mean they have like a goat head and they're doing like cutting a chicken's head off and spreading it, but they are worshiping the devil. Why? Because they are worshiping the words of these lies that come from Satan. I mean, that you can't separate the two. It's an absurd lie. It doesn't matter how absurd it is. In fact, the more absurd, the better, because that means that's how much more devoted they are. That's how much more entrenched they are in essentially their religion of worshiping Satan. I'm sorry, but it's true. I think that's one of the reasons the lies have to, when you understand all of this is part of a spiritual battle that's being reflected in our world, it makes so much more sense. Because the lies get so stupid. You know, we really saw this during the pandemic, and we're seeing it more during this Russian-Ukraine thing, watching them jump around all over the place. You know, the lies sometimes get so ridiculous and absurd, it's like comical. But you see, it has to be, because the more absurd the lie is, the more religious devotion, the more religious devotion is reflected when these people stand up and celebrate it and champion it. You got to go along with it. The more absurd and in your face it is, that's these people's signal that they are that devoted to the lie. And the lie is inseparable from Satan. Anyway, I kind of got off on, you know, the whole point of, I thought, what we, you know, of this talk today, of our discussion, was to maybe give you some insight. Again, like when you read prophecy, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New, just look for the reflections. Don't try to say, well, that literally means this. If it just kind of rhymes, it can mean something to you. And it'll make it easier to go through something like Revelation, which is just like reading something written by somebody on a bad acid trip or something. You know, it means more to you if you don't look around trying to like put together this piece is exactly this. Just look for the reflections. That's good enough. You don't have to say this literally means that. It's just, wow, I find meaning in that. It's reflective of the world around us. And again, you can apply this to Revelation or your Old Testament prophecy. Look around the world today. Well, Ezekiel wasn't talking about our world today, but you can see that reflected. You can see that reflected in the world around us. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of it. I never know. I really don't. That's one of the things I really love about the listener supporter mailbag, when people are like, man, I really got something out of that. It's like, well, good, because I do these things and I'm sitting here like as I'm wrapping up and I'm thinking, did that make any sense? Is anybody getting anything out of that? Or is it just kind of like, this guy's running out of things to talk about. He's on the 160th show. He's trying to keep it fresh, but it's getting stale. The goal is always to make it easier to help gain our understanding and mature as Christian believers. That's the whole point of this segment of the show. So anyway, like I said, I hope you got something. We're going to get on out of here. Don't forget, catch us Fridays. I'm on the Daily Nationalist with Sven Longchecks on Friday. Always a fun and good discussion. And of course, as always, we plan to be back here next Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.